Father, your word contains challenges, but your word has always been inspired by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, that what I speak and the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. I ask this through our loving Lord Jesus, our Saviour, friend and Redeemer. Amen. Endurance comes because we know of the assurance of God's love. Endurance comes because we know of the assurance of God's love. I did a swap with Bimby some time ago because Bimby wasn't going to be around this Sunday. And I said, oh, yes, of course, Bimby, I don't mind swapping. I'll be around and never look at the readings, do I? And then coming to look at these readings, I thought, oh, golly, I wish I hadn't swapped. Because I don't know about you, I'm finding this very tough. And it's a privilege to come and share God's word with everybody, but it's also a great responsibility. And as I find I struggle with the scriptures and pray and wait on the Lord, it speaks to me in my own life. And then through that struggle, I pray I come to bring something to you to share together as our family here at St. Paul's. In the church calendar, we're actually called, we're in ordinary time, would you believe? It's just a churchy thing. But basically what it means is that from the end of the November Advent Sunday to three Sundays ago, we'd followed through the lectionary the life of Jesus. We finished that with his ascension and then we celebrated Pentecost the following Sunday. And now the church calendar says we're in ordinary time. Well, I looked at these readings. I think nothing about these readings is ordinary. So I thought, shall I disappear now and just post something on YouTube or something? Okay, so that's, there you go. We have an extract this morning from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote two books, Jeremiah and Lamentations. And he was a prophet. His ministry lasted about 40 years, round about 600 BC. And he was a prophet anointed by God to bring a word to the people of Judah, the kingdom of Judah. The kingdom of Israel had already been assimilated into the Assyrian Empire. And the big cheese on the block at the moment was the Babylonian Empire. So God spoke to Jeremiah and called him to be his prophet to the nation at that time. Looking at the life of Jeremiah, this book contains history, it contains poetry, it's also a biography. But reading that book, and it's a big one, one can't but be struck that this was not a man standing on a plinth, pointing the finger at the people, being haughty and superior about what he saw. God gave him and melted his heart so that his heart was the heart of God. And the heart of God cried as he saw what was happening to the nation of Judah. So Jeremiah went through physically and lived physically the message that God had gave him to speak to the people. This was not a man who was standing aloof and pointing fingers. This was a man whose God's Holy Spirit had gone into his life and he spoke through his life the message that God had given him. And I found it very powerful the way that God, through his Holy Spirit, spoke through Jeremiah. His life was tough. He spoke in the region of five kings, only one Josiah even listened. Everybody else just turned away, closed their ears to what he was being, the message that he was bringing from God. Could we have the first little bullet points up, please? So he lived the message that God gave him, and his message was, turn back to God. You might have been shocked at those first verses in 7 and 8. What on earth is Jeremiah saying here? What are the circumstances that actually produced him to utter those words? Because he had spoken truth into a situation, the authorities didn't like what was being said. So he had been dragged out of the temple, he'd been put into stocks, and in front of everybody he was being abused for the message that he was bringing to the nation. And in that situation he spoke these words. But in those words one could feel three strands. There was that imperative to serve that had gone into him through God's Holy Spirit. But there was the cost of such service. Those two were linked. He couldn't have the message without the cost. And also, in a way, he couldn't have gone through with that message without the assurance of God's love and God's presence in his life. Why we faced externally all those things that were happening to him while he spoke the message that God had given him. Such a cost of a call is extremely personal. And it can involve the loss not only of possessions, but also of friends, self-esteem, and also dignity. But in that call was that assurance of God's presence. Whatever circumstances he went through, he knew God was with him. God would never abandon him. And he wrote this book while the country was going through political and economic turmoil. I thought that sounded quite contemporary. So that was the message that God brought through Jeremiah to the nation. So he wrote that out. But he actually saw in his release from the stocks a future event that, yes, the nation was heading for captivity, but there would be a release from that captivity. And he felt that being released himself physically from those stocks, that was a signal to him of what God's purpose, outworking of God's purpose, would be for them as a nation. I think that when they did go into Babylon and he went into exile with them, they became the first people to read the whole of that book together by the waters of Babylon, while they remembered their life as the people of God before captivity. So he was faithful in the call that God gave him. He was faithful because of the assurance that God gave him that he could carry on. In fact, without that assurance of that encouragement, I think he would have given up. But it was a supernatural assurance through God's presence, through the Holy Spirit, that enabled him to carry on. In those days, friends, you've got to remember the Holy Spirit was not available like it is today to all of us who believe in Jesus. It was given to a number of people for ministry. And if you read all the various Old Testament prophets and the history of Israel, people called by God were anointed by the Holy Spirit then. But it was individual, it wasn't uniform, it wasn't available to everybody who believes like we do today and have that Holy Spirit of Christ living within each of us, his witnesses today. So that is why the call came to Jeremiah as an individual, and it wasn't as widespread a calling to us all as it is today. So we have seen in the life of Jeremiah, and so we see in the life of Jesus, a call to be faithful witnesses to Father God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the setting of our Matthew passage is the call of Jesus to his disciples, of sending them out to go from him, what they've seen, what they've learned, to go out and do ministry. There were some wonderful outcomes in that sending out. But he reminded them before they went that there was going to be a cost for that ministry. Could we have slide number two? Thank you. And he sort of gave a lovely illustration. I like Jesus was the most excellent preacher there has ever been and will ever be. There's some very gifted people about, and I'm not one of them in preaching. But I know that he gave wonderful illustrations. So he said to his disciples, look, if you're members of a household and the owner of the household gets abused or whatever, don't expect, because you're members of the household, to get away scot-free. You're part of the household. So if the household is slated, you're going to be slated as well, because you're part of the whole. And they get hold of messages like that. He earths his message in actually everyday circumstances. So as he unpacks the message to them, he's saying there is, could be, oppression coming at three levels. It could come from those in authority. The natural response would be to fear. But one doesn't, the fear comes in threats. But don't fear, because truth is shown and God acknowledges all those who stand true to him. I was on holiday just over a week ago and came back. And I'm not making a political point here, and don't get me wrong, I don't make politics. But I was heartbroken to read that the leader of the Liberal Democrats had to resign as leader of his party because he said he couldn't live an authentic Christian life because of the threats and the pressures that he was under. I thought that was appalling indictment of where we're standing as a country. I'm sorry, it really is. If Christians can't, and it also emboldens me also, that we have got an urgent need in our prayers to pray for those in authority. We want Daniels to be in the corridors of power to speak out the truth of God. If it's silent, this country will go down the pan, like Judah. I mean, I'm not a prophet either at all. But it really broke my heart to read that when I got back from holiday, because I was unaware of that had happened. So that is one threat. Then there is the threat from, as Jesus said, religious type people. Those who haven't got anything to do with the Spirit, but are around to squash any outbreak of true allegiance to Jesus and what Jesus stands for. And then there is family and friends. And I think that's one of the hardest. I don't think anybody in this church this morning hasn't had or experienced close friends or family actually, not perhaps ridicule, but certainly make you feel like that. I've been there. I lost a lot of friends when I committed my life to Christ. I gained a lot of friends. I can see lots of them here this morning. But going through that process was not comfortable. But Jesus laid it out that it will come, that all people who follow Jesus will find a cost. But there is that assurance that we can endure because the presence of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, is in each of us to sustain us, to get through, to be witnesses for him. Could we have the final one, please? Where are we today? Well, I think we can stand on the truth that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the living word, the Bible, with all that wonderful encouragement. Yes, it's a good book because it's warts and all. And the people you see in it are warts and all. I would have walked away as a Christian ages if all I saw in the Bible were wonderful stained glass people, because I thought, I don't fit that at all. I struggle with this and I find that difficult. But it's there, the living word of God, to encourage us. We have to expect the same treatment as he and his disciples. If you read the history of the church, it was tough going. But they endured. They endured because of the love of Christ, the assurance of God's love in their hearts, just as we have. We mustn't fear. We've got to look at Jesus, look full in Jesus' wonderful face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. God is aware of everything that happens. His promises never fail. And we all are precious to God here and now. So, to summarise, like all people featured in the strict scriptures, because God knew them and knows us completely, we can be honest with him in our prayers. We can share in our prayers the kind of things which can overwhelm us and which have caused us pain and hardship. But in the safe knowledge that he sustains us because God reached out to us through Jesus. And it's so wonderful that we're not like Jeremiah. We don't travel alone. But we have God's Holy Spirit as our comforter, companion and guide, and the fellowship of all believers, not only in this place, but wherever we are around the world and gather in worship with them. We are part of God's worldwide family, and we can be encouraged by what we read and what God is doing, but we are called to be witnesses and endure because of the love of the assurance that Christ has given each of us because we name Jesus as our Lord and Saviour.